Peter deals with the fruits of the false teachers that we've been dealing with. In this world, they are heading straight to a reef of judgment. Jesus Christ came to reveal himself, show what sin is, show what those reefs are, and explain the danger of traveling your ships near those reefs. But sinners captain their ships ignoring the ancient charts, ignoring the ancient text, ignoring what captains of their ships should be studying. Drunk on their sin in the flesh, you're heading straight to a reef and let Satan drive it straight to perdition. The world is blindly complacent with their sin. Drunk, sleeping, and happy in a dangerous channel. Tomorrow, the reef of Christ's judgment will destroy every ship that ignores the danger that these captains are facing. Only those understanding the ancient text, only those reading the ancient text, only those watching for this storm on the horizon will arrive at the Spirit's intended destination, which is heaven, with God and with Jesus Christ. Turn your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 to 7, and let's read about those reefs. So 2 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 1, reading to verse 7. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the worlds that were spoken by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this, they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Dear Heavenly Father, we look forward to a day where you will come and take over the world and judge it in righteousness, rule it in righteousness, where sin will no longer have a problem, where our faith will become sight, where we will see the beauty of Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we look for that day, we study the charts, we study your word, we realize there are storm clouds on the horizon. We see the lightning. We see the heavy rain. We see all the things happening and know that you are soon to return. Lord, let us look up. Let us realize the redemption is high. Let us sail our ships into your deep waters of faith that we may remain safe following your way, your truth, and your life. And Lord, let us warn those captains that are in Satan's shallows, enjoying what they think of sin for a season, enjoying it, but not realizing that in them lay the gates of hell. Lord, let us call those ships away from those reefs. Let us see them come and join us as we worship you in spirit and truth. And Lord, let us just look forward to that day when you will return. We ask in your precious Son's dear name. Amen. Now, Peter uses these verses to stir people to spiritual truths. Stop being complacent. Stop thinking that everything that has happened in the past will happen in the future. There is coming a day where Jesus Christ will return and he will judge the world for its sin. Make sure you are on the right path. Make sure you are in the right channel. Make sure you are in his safe depths. He who made all from the original waters knows every one of Satan's reefs, designed to destroy ships and take the sailors of those ships straight to hell. He wrote how to steer your course in righteousness and bring your ship to eternal safety. He provides the way, the truth, and the life, and tells us in John 5:39, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. He's given us everything we need to know. He's given us everything we need to do to take our ships to the right spot, to avoid the reefs of destruction, to make it so that we do not fall asleep, stay vigilant, and come into safety. Understand, there is a storm coming. It is on the horizon. Those studying his ancient charts and his word will be led to safety as we will serve our King and King forevermore. Those drunk and sleeping, ignoring his word, will wake up to his second coming. They mocked it, and now they will find themselves damned on Satan's reefs, struck there with no hope, no way to escape. Peter focuses all people on the dangers of the world's channels. He has come in the past. He will come in the future. He has destroyed the entire world in the past for its sin, and he has promised he's going to do it in the future. The reef is there. The question is, will you be awake? Will you study the scriptures, and will you find eternal life? Or will you get drunk on the world's sins, go sleep off your drunk in the bunks downstairs, and let your ship hit a reef, making you eternally damned? As we look at the coming storm, and we look at how to get to our destination, we need to realize three things. We need to be awake, we need to be alone, and we need to be advised. Joe Hazelwood was not awake. Joe Hazelwood was on his bunk. He was in charge of his ship, and his ship struck a reef because he was totally complacent about what the dangers were in the area. To avoid Satan's reefs, we must understand, first of all, they exist. There's danger out there. You play with sin, you're going to find yourself near a reef. You must understand that they're there. You must be practiced to avoid them, and you must be vigilant in seeing them to stay in the straight and narrow, deep channel of God's safety. We must be stirred up with a pure mind. Now, in the Greek, what he means by pure mind is clear, pure, unmixed, uncontaminated, focused, and concentrated. This is not worldly wisdom. This is not understood by the world. If you go to worldly wisdom and try to understand this book, you're going to find yourself in the shallows, heading straight for a reef. You must focus with the Spirit on what the book is trying to tell you. This is a picture of pure grain with no chaff, totally separated from the world. Understanding the safe depths of the doctrine of Christ as we avoid worldly shallows, covering Satan's reefs. Now, Peter had mentioned this as we studied a few weeks ago in 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You must understand, Satan hates God with every part of his being. And as mankind is God's crowning creation, Satan hates man. Satan wants to take man down as much as he can. He wants to see man go to hell so he can take away glory from Jesus Christ. We must understand this, and his ways have not changed. Once again, Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Satan placed the reefs of sin out there right at the very beginning. His channel is wide. His channel is smooth. His channel is so inviting, so beautiful, so pretty, and yet very shallow, covering reefs that are endangering every single ship out there. You must study his word to understand navigation, to find the narrow but doctrinally deep channel of faith in God, faith in him, faith allowing you to avoid all those reefs. Now, you trust that he can come because you understand the truth of his first coming. Is he going to come again? The world scoffs. We saw that. The world's scoffing. It's been this way since the beginning. It's been over 2,000 years since he came the first time. Everything's the same. We can just eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow we die because he's not coming again. You Baptists keep saying that. Where is he? Well, on the first coming, Galatians 4:4 says he came in the fullness of time. 1 John 1:18 says these are the last times. Hebrews 1:2 says he has spoken to us in these last times by his Son. And 1 Peter 1:20 shows his everlasting truth as he was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but made manifest in these last times for us. His first coming was perfectly predicted, perfectly fulfilled. Everything about his first coming, to the jot and tittle, was exactly the way the Bible said it. Now he's given us his word to show his second coming. Since we see his first coming so fulfilled, we stand sure that he is coming a second time. We stand sure that he's coming in judgment as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He will judge the quick and the dead. Those who have been righteous will join him forevermore. Their ships will arrive in the right destination. Those who mock and scoff and do not follow the right way will be on the reefs forevermore, stuck with Satan, where he, the maker of those reefs. Studying the prophets, we can see the eternal nature of Christ. Knowing his first coming was fulfilled by his word, once again, we know for certain that his second is coming. In fact, Jude 14:15 showed that Enoch, before the flood, prophesied Jesus would return with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgments on all the ungodly people who have done so many ungodly things. This was well before the flood. before the flood. It shows the eternity of Jesus Christ. He had Enoch prophesy that the second coming would happen. The wise captain studies his word, that by guiding your ship by his steps, you can avoid all Satan's reefs. And 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all Scripture is inspired to be able to make the man of God perfect. That's the Old Testament and the New Testaments. We study the Old Testament to understand the New Testament. We study the Old Testament to understand those prophecies will happen exactly the way he said, right to the jot and tittle, the smallest pieces of the Hebrew language. We must remain awake, the helm of our lives, as Jesus said in Matthew 24:44. Therefore, be also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. His return will drive all sinful captains right into the reefs of destructions. Avoid Satan being awake to the promise and guaranteed return of Jesus Christ. Don't be like Captain Hazelwood sleeping on that bunk. Be awake, watching, looking, living in such a way that when he comes, you will be in the safeties of the depths, you will stand the storm, and he will call you home. So being awake, you're going to find yourself alone. As we look at all the ships in the channels, we see a lot of captains unconcerned about Satan's reefs. They've heard about all the dangers of the shallows, but you know what? They're smarter than everybody else. We have so many shortcuts, so many smooth waters here. You must join us because the deep water has no fun. It has no fellowship of the world, and it's so boring. Now come join us. Eat, drink, and be merry. Tomorrow we do die, but that's been the way it's always been. And God will accept us. Don't worry about it. And oh, by the way, who are you to judge us? Who are you to say you're so great? No? And they're right. There is nothing in me that's great at all. All I do is I follow the charts. I know where the reefs are because God has told me in his word, and I avoid those reefs. I'm not great. The word tells me how to avoid those reefs. Now, they say danger. I've traveled these channels every day to no harm. All my ancestors have done the same. You say there's a huge storm coming as predicted in the ancient book, a storm of reckoning? For those who do not travel your deep, boring, narrow channels? I have heard this since my youth. In fact, so did my dad. The channels haven't changed. They're just the same as they always have been. They always will be. You foolish Christians, don't you realize it's so fun and easy in the shallows? But just as Captain Hazelwood, who slept off a lusty drunk on Bly Reef, these sinners will find out those channels have problems. That storm will come, and they will destroy all the boats that are there. I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe today. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe 100 years from now. But it is coming, and we need to watch for it. Unlike the world, we see the eternal nature of these reefs, and we separate from the boats that are traveling in those lusty shallows. Psalm 73:11. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? They think, God made the world, and he just left us alone to our own enjoyment. Well, he made it for us, didn't he? And didn't he say it was all very good? So everything we do in those shallows, God has approved of. And if he didn't, well, he doesn't know anything anyway. How can he? I don't know what Philippe's thinking right now. I have no idea. God's no better than us, right? He can't know what I'm thinking. He can't know what I'm doing. And they trust in their own self. They trust in their own knowledge. They judge God by what they see in us. He's either powerless to do anything about it, or he doesn't even know what we're doing, because I can't read people's minds, neither can he. Jude 18:19 says, how that they being the apostles, told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they that separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. Drunk on worldly sin, they sleep and continue in an ungodly practices, assuming everything will continue as it always has and everything's going to be all right. Sleeping off, enjoying their lusty drunk, looking forward to the day where the ship will come into safe harbor until they hit Bly Reef. They separate from God. We must be separate from them. These sinners trust God's law of permanence in his creation and not the God of those laws. I mean, look at evolution. Evolution basically says, what you see out here, it's always been this way. And it's just a slow growth pattern. There's no flood. How can you prove there's a flood? There's no way to prove a flood. That's ridiculous. There's not enough water to make this flood. You guys are just not science. You always believe in a flat earth, don't you? So they scoff at us, not trusting the record. And because they don't trust the record, they scoff at the whole record. They scoff at the God who had the flood, so they scoff at the God who calls us to holiness. We need, once again, eat, drink, and get merry. Be merry, for tomorrow we die. Get what you can today. Don't worry about tomorrow. They'll scoff at those warnings of the day of judgment when God will judge the world for its sin. How fun is that? We need to have our fun now, because when we die, there's going to be nothing left. They're going to find out there is something left. It's going to be a little warmer. They like the Caribbean now. It's going to be a little warmer than that, I think. They'll be destroyed on reefs in this life and join a maker of those reefs in the next. Satan's reefs have always been the shallows of 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Spiritually asleep, they're drunk on the world's sins. Eventually, Jesus will return and destroy all the boats moored in Satan's harbors, all the boats traveling Satan's shallows, all the boats in those wide, smooth channels that are so shallow, and well, reefs everywhere. You know, the thing is, if you're a good captain, you can avoid those reefs if it's smooth. But when the storm comes, when Christ returns, they will not be able to handle it, and every one of them will be destroyed. Before it's too late, we need to follow Ephesians 5:14. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Be awake, study the charts, move your boat to his depths and eternal safety. Separate from the world and separate from those in those shallows. Be with the other people who are alone from the world and serving Jesus Christ in all things. So the last thing we need to be is advised. No, they're mocking us because, hey, I've been in this shallow so many times. There's no storm coming. In fact, I've seen storm clouds. We talked about the false prophets with all the storm clouds before that produced no water. It's the same thing. There's nothing going to happen. They don't realize that God is his own time, and he's not a false prophet. Everything he said will happen exactly the way he said. I'm not smart enough to tell you when. If I do, I'll be out of this pulpit, because it says even Jesus Christ, when he was on earth, didn't know. But we know it's coming. We know it's certain. The world's captains are blind because they refuse to see. They like their sinful world. They assume that everything in the past is everything that's going to happen in the future. And they assume that we cannot be destroyed. I mean, look at this world. It's huge. How can he possibly destroy this world? Peter now shows the second coming of Christ is perfectly consistent with his word. And the promised destruction of this world is perfectly consistent with his word. The past, in this case, is prologue. We will see the destruction of this world, as his word says, because we've already seen the destruction of this world. He has done it in the past. He is able to do it in the future. The Bible says it. I trust his word. Get to the safety of the deep waters and out of Satan's shallows before it happens. So to continue in their drunken sleep, they assume the channels were always there and they always will be. We have a creation that doesn't have a creator, they think. Peter shows that he started this liquid mix, the earth standing in the water and out of the water. Remember Genesis 1:1, God created heaven and earth. He had his big watery mix. He created the world. And before he created the seas, it was just kind of a wet globe. That was how he started. It started with water, so the flood is no big deal at all. And they don't trust it. They don't want to trust it. Job saw the same amazing facts in Job 7. He stretcheth out over the empty place and hangeth on nothing. It's an amazing fact. You know, Job, oldest book of the Bible, and Job realized this was a earth that was hung on nothing. It's just sitting out there in space. These captains have faith in the world, not God. Having no faith in God, they cannot please God. Assuming no creation is they do not want to worship a creator. This is not the faith we have. We have a faith in the Creator God. We have faith, and so we'll drive our boats to his deep safety, trusting our eternal God, trusting that our God is the way, the truth, and the life. He will give us the steps. He will show us how to avoid those reefs. We will not be destroyed as long as we follow his word in the ancient texts. Hebrews 11:3 says this, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were made of things of things that do not appear. Awake, O sleeper. He who created this world by his voice, by his command, he who created this world is able to destroy the world in which he created. Look out there. We've talked about it in the past many times. Day 4. And he created the stars also. It was nothing to him. If he can do that out of nothing, create everything we see in one day, how tough is it to take the world and crush it? Very simple for him. We understand that. We understand the power of God. They do not because they do not want to. Have faith and be awake to the coming storm, because he's promised if we follow his word, he will bring us to safety. The sleeping drunk captains do not believe Christ will return. Thinking they can avoid the reefs and the shallows, they do not believe that he will destroy those ships with the eternal wave driving them to the reefs. They sleep in the spirit until their ship is destroyed and they find themselves in the hell that they did not believe in and did not think was going to happen. Something we don't want to see. We don't want to see our friends. That's why we need to warn them. They do not think that Christ's return will ever destroy all ships because he hasn't returned yet. Scoffing at all the cabins in the deep water waiting for his return. How many of you heard, well, you just believe in pie in the sky and all that. He's going to take you away from all this. No, I don't believe in pie in the sky. I believe Jesus Christ and the God who created all things who said it's going to happen. That's what I believe in. Peter shows that God has judged the world with a flood, showing it is in his character to judge a sinful world. He warns of an upcoming promised judgment by fire. Remember, when he got the rainbow, with the rainbow, we know the flood will never happen again. We will never see the world destroyed by a flood, and that's a promise that he's going to keep. He's not going to destroy it by a flood. He's going to try it by fire. And everything that is godly will be purified. Everything that is ungodly will be destroyed. But they say the tides flow. The sun rises and sets. The seasons continue just as they always have. So they say, well, God doesn't care. God just loves us. They mistake God's grace as God's forbearance. When the world's iniquity is full, when the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled, when the world has apostatized from God to the point where it is beyond hope, he will return just exactly as he's promised. And he will judge the world as by fire. Scoff all you want, in the shallows, but be advised. God will bring the ships that are in his deep faith through the waters to their final destination of heaven. Just as the ark carried Noah and his family to the new world to reestablish a world that God made in righteousness, those sleeping will be destroyed. Those in the ships and the deeps will be brought forth to the new world, which is heaven. So what do we do with all this? Worldly captains like Satan's moorings so they can enjoy the fruits of the flesh listed in Galatians 5, 19 to 21. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. These shall not see the kingdom of God. We glorify that in today's society. We glorify all those things. Now, who remembers Captain Morgan commercials? Looks exactly like a Captain Morgan commercial right there. There are storm clouds on the horizon with a wave from that will destroy every ungodly boat. Like Captain Hazelwood, they will sleep in their worldly, drunken stupor until they hit that reef and are destroyed with them. As a wise man once told me, prophecy was never meant to satisfy the curious, but to warn the faithful. We see the storms out there. We know they're coming. I don't know how fast it's moving. Are the storms moving 100 miles an hour? Are they moving 3 miles an hour? I don't know. I'm not sure when that storm's going to hit, but I'm warned because I see those storms. I see Matthew 24 happening as it said. I see Romans 1 being played out before our eyes. I can see all those prophecies being fulfilled right in front of us. God's time is not my time. I don't understand God's time fully, but I can see the storm and I need to prepare. I need to get that boat ready. No, Noah didn't build the ark the day before the flood. Noah started 100 years beforehand. It took a long time of preparation. We need to be the same thing. We need to be ready. We need to make sure that our ships are steered correctly. The worldly captains have seen these clouds from false prophets and assume they will pass just like they have before. They sleep and scoff at our warnings. In fact, they persecute us as we warn of the dangerous ways because they say we hurt their feelings. After all, they've been operating like this for generations. Now, some ancestors have hit the reefs. You know, I had some drunk ancestors. They hit the reefs. They had a horrible life. But you know, I'm smarter than they are. That's what they'll say. We learn. Worldly wisdom keeps advancing. Worldly wisdom is going to be destroyed because God calls it foolishness. You, who study this ancient text in modern times, are holding society back. Well, society is going to be destroyed. I want to be with God and his people when he returns. We worry not about the fools who say there is no God. Those assume God, if he exists, cannot know, and we cannot know what we do, and certainly won't destroy us. Those working around the reefs in the shallows are in danger, but they don't recognize it. They don't care. We stay in the safety of Christ's deep faith as we see the storm clouds approaching his promise and his word. And we trust his word, and we'll close with Matthew chapter 24, verses 27 through 44. We will see why we stress separation from the world so much in these verses. So Matthew 24, starting at verse 27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender, and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise, ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came, and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch, therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. We see the fig tree. We see the prophecies concerning Israel being fulfilled right before our eyes. Seeing the fig tree, we go to the depths and call all captains to do the same. The storm's coming. We don't know when. But if you find yourself in shallows, your boat will be destroyed. If you find yourself in the depths of faith, you'll be saved. Most will scoff and assume the world hasn't destroyed yet, so it never will be. Let us be ready, watching and not worrying about the worldly scoffers who will be destroyed at his return. With that, we need to look at, in times like these, singing hymn 357. Please turn there. We were singing a song. I had a picture. When I fly into Kennedy Airport, I'm going over a whole lot of water. And while the ships are waiting to come in, they're in deep water, and there are anchors down there. Well, that's the picture we should have. We should be in the deep water with that anchor holding us against the storms, because winds get pretty strong there. You can see some huge white caps. Those ships are safe because they have an anchor that holds. Our anchor is Jesus Christ. Our anchor will hold as long as we trust in it, and our anchor will hold as long as we put it in the rock that he calls us to do so. So, as we go to prayer today, have you been putting your trust in the world, assuming everything's going to be the same as it has been? I do have a retirement program. I'll tell you that right now, because I don't know exactly when he's going to return. But I'll be quite frank, I don't expect to spend it. So, we need to realize he could return at any time, and we need to pattern our life exactly that way. Plan that he's coming today. At the same time, plan he's coming in 100 years. We work until he returns, but we expect him to return at any time. So we need to keep our focus on his Bible, living his way completely every day, knowing he could return, and not thinking we can clean our life in 3 years. 3 years might not come. Make sure your life is clean today, working, and expect him to come any time. With that, as we go to prayer, ask yourself, have you done that? Have you been focusing on Jesus Christ? Or are you just focusing on the world, doing what the world says, because the world's always been here and always will be? And you got the American way and all that. Or have you been putting yourself the way the Bible says? Have you been practicing to follow His Word? Have you been guiding your steps by His steps? If you haven't been, make today the day you do so. If you've never been saved, you're in those shallows. If you've never been saved, you're heading right to those reefs. Make today the day that you get into His deep water. He has promised life to everyone that comes to Him. All we got to do is cry out and ask for His forgiveness, and He was faithful to give it. So as you go to prayer, ask God, how do you get to that deep water? Ask God, how to live in that faith? And thank God for the fact that He gives you that anchor that will hold. And we look forward to the day where our faith will become sight. And then after just a minute or two, I'll close this in prayer. Father, we see that storm coming. We see the storm of judgment coming. But we know, Lord, that when You come, You'll be trying the world by fire. Let us, Lord, have gold, silver, precious stones, that fire will purify, that we may be able to have those crowns that You promised those who are faithful, that we may be able to throw them at Your feet, glorifying Your holy name. And, Lord, let us have that anchor right now that holds. Let us have an anchor that keeps us in the deep water away from those reefs. And, Lord, when we let our anchor slip, when we put our faith in the world, when we see our ship starting to go toward those reefs, make us mindful of that fact, Lord. Make us mindful of the fact that we've left the moorings, and have us put that anchor back where it belongs. And let us have faith in Your word. Let us have faith in everything You've said. For we know that the world is coming to an end. We know that You will judge us. And we know that we will live in righteousness forevermore because You've promised it, Lord. Not because of who we are, but because of who You are. And Lord, if there's anybody here who has not accepted that faith, and not accepted the blood of Christ for the remission of sins, let today be the day that they will have that anchor, that they'll be able to hold in all these horrible times, that they will be able to wait until their faith will become sight, see You as You are, and glorify Your holy name. And Lord, as we go eat, let us enjoy the blessings that You give us. And I pray that You'd bless the people who prepared the food for us. We ask it all in Your precious Son's dear name. Amen.